Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading from Exodus 2, and I read one part of one verse, especially as a text verse for the sermon, the last part of verse 10, Exodus 2, verse 10, the last part, where we read as follows, "And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water." The theme for this morning is drawn out of the water. 3 points of attention. The first point, a dark night. The second point, trusting parents. And the third point, the purpose of God. So the theme is drawn out of the water. 3 points, a dark night, trusting parents, and the purpose of God. Congregation, there has been a day for each and every one of us about us, that it was said about us, there's a boy born there in that and that family. There's a girl born there. Can you imagine that? That was said about you? And what a glad message it is, usually, how much joy it brings, such a message. Think about it, children. It was a day that you were born, and that it is the work of the Lord. There's a day to be born, and there's a day to die. And both are, and both should be, in the hands of the Lord. And this morning we have read about a boy born. Born among the people of God, the people of Israel, Moses. Born in a very dark situation, a dark night, you could say, in the history of Israel. While they are in Egypt, under such a cruel and serious oppression, as slaves. So the circumstances that a child is born can be very difficult, can feel like a dark night. Although it is true that God is the one working that miracle of new life, no man can work that. And at the same time, it can be a situation bringing a lot of concern, a lot of trouble, a lot of sadness. And that is, of course, because of sin. And we should never forget it is the work of the Lord. It's also not something that all receive. There can be a lot of sadness about that. We know that. And we know that to be a parent is a very rich thing, but at the same time, it brings a lot of responsibility and a lot of concerns, especially when you see that we live in a fallen world, a world full of temptation, of sin. And that we remember that children are born with a soul that will exist forever, created for eternity. To enjoy God for eternity in heaven. But for that end, there has to be a change, a regeneration in the hearts of us and our children. And that's a miracle. You could say even a bigger miracle than the birth of a child. There's a deep concern for the parents of Moses because they live in a time that all the sons, all the boy children, the boys that are born, Pharaoh has commanded that they have to be killed. Can you believe that? So there's a government in that country that is commanding that the born boys will be thrown in the Nile to be killed. What a deep suffering for parents if they would see that happen to their children like they did in those days. And you can think about that the Nile was kind of a god to the Egyptians, bringing fertility to the land. When the water would rise and leave the mud over the fields, that would be good. So the harvest would be rich. It would be growing plants. And so, yeah, that was really a blessing. So they did honor the Nile like a god. You can see those children killed in the Nile like sacrificed to their god. And we remember that God did punish them later in their god to make the water of the Nile blood. That's how it happens many times, that God will punish in our idols to stop us from giving glory to idols. What a deep, deep suffering for the people of God. What a dark, dark night in history of the people of the covenant. And many questions can rise. Why, O Lord, does this happen? Yeah, we hear those questions in our days, in personal lives and in other situations. We can think about some answers why the Lord allowed this to happen to his people. He allowed Jacob to travel from the promised land Canaan to go with his family to live in Egypt. Well, there was the famine in the land, so that he could have bread, be with Joseph. And the Lord had his purpose. Wasn't it that he wanted his people to be separate from the peoples, the Canaanites, the heathen in promised land? So they came to Egypt and they were heathen, sure, but they were in the eyes of the Egyptians an abomination. So the Lord, you could say, he isolated them to preserve them as his people so that they would live for the Lord. At the same time, the Lord used this situation of suffering for his people to prepare them for salvation. Be his people in the promised land saved out of Egypt so that they would totally depend on the Lord. They had to learn the deep lesson and how hard it was. If you think about the murmuring, they did many times in the desert. And what a rich type it is, a rich illustration of how God is saving sinners out of the slavery of sin. Our lives in this world are very much like the life of the people of Israel in Egypt, isn't it? A situation of slavery, ruled by the darkness of idolatry and sin. Isn't that the world where we live in? And we have to be saved out of this world. We have to be saved, and we can only be saved by that miraculous, wonderful power of God. So that's why the Ten Commandments start that way, to remember the people about what God has done. And when we have to obey the commandments, we should first remember what God has done. Did he do it to you? So that we would do them from gratitude and not to earn anything. So Moses was born in a very dark situation. I remember a day in South Africa. We had only one child yet and small. And we were walking in the mountains a whole day. We love to hike in the mountains, and yeah, we didn't know the track. And then at the end, we came in a kind of a cave after walking the whole day. So it was impossible to return. It was dark in the cave. Oh, what's happening here? Can we continue here? It seems there's no way out. So this track ends up here in this cave. It's like a dead end road. That's how it looked for the people of Israel. But then when we walked on in that cave, then we saw some light. And we were wondering what it was, and there came some hope. There was light. And then we came to the end of the cave, and then, wow, this is bad. There was a way out, but it seems impossible for us to go with a small child out of that cave, because it was a chain ladder, very steep rock and very high. I thought, wow, how are we going to do that? No way to return. But we got hope, and we got out. We did climb the ladder, and the Lord helped us. And yeah, I was thinking about that. It was a dark night. But God would not forget his people. He was already busy to prepare a way out. And that is why this child is born. Moses, are you in a dark night? Does your life look like a cave where it seems to be a dead end of the track that you're going? And is the way that could be a way out is too steep for you? Oh, that your hope would be in the Lord. That is the deep and the big lesson for the people of Israel in Egypt. God is their savior. And here the Lord is preparing their salvation. Is the Lord not busy in our lives for a long time before we are aware? When he is coming to stop us and to get us out of the darkness and the mud of sin. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. She saw him that he was a goodly child. What does it mean? What did they see in that child? But if you look in the letter to the Hebrews, if you look in Hebrews 11, verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. And the explanation here at the side says, proper, you could say it means handsome or beautiful. That's what a Dutch translation says, a beautiful child. So, what does that mean? And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, they've been hiding that child. So what does it mean that they saw it was a goodly child, it was a proper child, beautiful? Isn't it that the Lord showed them something of the beauty of his work that he would show by in this child? That the parents saw something of the plan of God, maybe not even conscious so deeply. But the Lord revealed something to them of the beauty in this child. It was a child born with a very special purpose. To be, you could say, used as the savior of the people. As a mediator, richly blessed in the service of the Lord. A goodly child. Born in a dark night. And if you have those questions about dark nights in our lives, and you say, yeah, there can be some answers, there can be some purposes, but I still do not feel, it still feels not good. And it's so hard for me to be united to the will of God. Well, let us read what the situation of the people of Israel was in Egypt. Joshua chapter 24 is revealing that, where it says in verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. So they couldn't say the Lord is not righteous. No, they were sinning against God even in Egypt, serving idols. following the example of the Egyptians. So how could they complain and say the Lord was not righteous? The Lord was going a deep way in a dark night. But he was not doing anything wrong to them. He was still not doing with them according to their sins. He does not to us either. He does not to us either. If the Lord would do to us according to our sins, we would have to perish right now, here at a spot, at this moment. For all eternity, God is good. His government in our life is wise, righteous, that there would be no rebellion in our hearts against God. Born is his child in a dark night. We live in a dark night. In our time, it's so bad when you think about children killed in the Nile. How cruel. How can they do that? Beautiful, created children by God, killed. Oh, what kind of society is that? What kind of a government is that, that it can do that? Well, it happens so many times in the Netherlands, in Europe, in the United States. All that blood of the unborn children, not respected as creatures of God, as human beings created by the living God. And those that do it, how can they ever respond before the Lord? I know there is forgiveness. Let us pray for them. Oh, and how deep those parents hurt themselves that ask and allow it to be done. Let us pray for them. Let us pray that our land might return before all those punishments of the Lord will come over us like they came over Egypt, and they will harden it in the punishments of the Lord, in his chastisements. They were hardening their hearts, and at the end it became their destruction when they continued to harden their hearts. How serious is the time that we are living in? Do we see it? It can easily happen that we grow to be used to it, because it comes, and in the first time there's some indignation, but I see that in the Netherlands we get used to it. It could be here. Get used to it. Well, that's how it is. And do not see how cruel and terrible and sinful it is. But let us not forget to hope in the Lord in this dark night in history, to cry out to him. The Lord says to Moses when he's calling him later, "I have very well heard the crying of my people." Let us not forget to cry out with hope in our hearts to the Lord. Otherwise we would dishonor God, as if this situation would be too dark for him. And that is not true. He is able to change and overcome what we do in our wickedness, what evil we do. He is more powerful. So this child is a sign of the faithfulness of God. Yeah, there are still children born. God is faithful. That they might be born to be used by the Lord. What a deep joy is that for parents, if children fear the Lord. And Moses is born in a dark time. But at the same time, this child, this beautiful child, you could say is a type of Christ. In a very powerful way. Christ, who was born in the most deep darkness of this world, who came out of the glory of heaven, the light, born in a very poor situation. And here is Moses born as a slave child. And Christ was willing to be born in the nature of a servant. It says in the original language, the nature of a slave. Think about Philippians 2, Isaiah 53. And this child, born as a slave child, Moses, became the prince. Well, at the same time he was a slave, born from slaves, and prince of Egypt. The first big empire we read about in scripture in world history. Egypt. So Christ, the Son of God, born in the nature of a slave to serve. Same time, the King of Glory, the Prince of this world, Prince of all things, the one in authority. And Moses was willing to give it up. To give it up for his people. That glory of the palace. To be one with his people. To be united to them. To save them. That's what Christ did. And there was a long time of preparation before that public ministry of Moses was there. There was a time of preparation for the Lord Jesus before he, 30 years old, started his public ministry. And Moses brought a people out of the land of slavery, leading them. That's what Christ is doing today, bringing boys and girls, children, out of the slavery of Satan. And Pharaoh, you could say, is a type of Satan, who wants to kill the people of God. He is doing what he can to do that, to do harm to the church and the work of the Lord. But Pharaoh was destroyed. Moses was leading the people. And he was used by the Lord to reveal the will of God to the people. As a mediator, he received the law of the Lord to pass it on to the people, to give it to the people. And in Christ we see how God is in the most deep and clear way. In his mercy and righteousness, which is brought together at a cross, so that people could be saved by a righteous and merciful God in a way of righteousness and mercy. It is a dark night, but do you see that light there at the end? Is there hope in your heart? And that future that the Lord has prepared for those that fear him. Is there in your heart a fear of the Lord by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? And what a blessing for this child to be born in a family with God-fearing parents. So, not all of the people were, you could say, the right word, infected by the idolatry in Egypt. That idolatry that was seen again when they were led out of the land in the wilderness, and they wanted a graven image of a calf, a golden calf, a bull calf, which they had seen in Egypt. And which example they follow. But here are God-fearing parents. There will be in all times, by the grace of God, those that will have that tender fear of the Lord in their heart, although many around them fall away in following the examples of serving idols according to our own sinful heart. So God-fearing and trusting parents, we said. And whence he could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put a child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. So you see the mother busy, children. How much love is there in the hands of a mother for their children, all what they do. And those loving mother hands, I know there are other situations that mothers do not what they should do to their children. Oh, how good it is to see a lot of mother love in this world. She is preparing a safe place for her child. Religion to do that. You see her working there? Can you imagine what was in her heart? She had to put her child in that ark to let it go. So she had to leave it there in the river. She had to bring it to the river, the place where the children were killed. To lose your child to save it. I mean, that you come to a point that you see, I cannot save my child. I have to put it in the hands of the Lord. You could say that ark, isn't that an illustration of Christ? Where are the loving mother hands? They are here, laying their child with a heart full of prayer in the hands of the Lord. Those pierced hands, O Lord, save my children. I cannot do it. I don't know. I do not have the wisdom. I do not have the power. There's so much darkness. There's so much evil. There's so much wickedness. Oh Lord, here's my child. She brought it to the place where the children were killed. And that's where her child would be saved, by the grace of God. So, isn't there a lesson? We have to lose our lives to find it. We fight against it. We really fight against it. We think we can and we have to sustain ourselves. But oh, what a grace when we come to that point that we give it up. We lose it from the Lord and we die in that way that we condemn ourselves before God. Oh Lord, there's no hope for my flesh, so no hope for myself. My hope is in Christ. You come to that point, and there you find life. It's a miracle. So isn't that what we experience about our children? That we come to our knees and see they have to die. Not only that they have to die one day like we all physically, but because it are my children, they have the same heart, they deserve to die. Lord, my children are born evil like I am. O Lord, thou art righteous. We have to condemn ourselves, we and our children, before thee, the holy God. But, O Lord, for Christ's sake, be merciful unto us. show thy grace, that your diligent prayers might be preparing that ark, so that, well, your child, you cannot save your child. It will be saved by the death of Christ. He died for me, oh, and for my children, for the coming generation. You see that mother busy there? What a work you have to do, parents, on your knees, that there might be an ark for your children to be saved, where they have to die, deserve to die, but receive life as a free gift from God in Christ, in that ark. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. What a fate are those times that you have to let go. You come to an end. You remember that father of the prodigal son. He couldn't stop his son anymore. He had to let go to receive him back. He did. Isn't that a miracle? To give glory to God. What a blessing, children. I know my parents always prayed for me, and your parents do. You know that. I know when I would go to do something wrong, and they would know, they would be on their knees. It kept me from bigger sins. It brought me back. Praying parents, trusting parents, aware of the darkness in this world, and laying their children before the Lord. There's a beautiful poem in Dutch, don't know if it is here, that says, I lay the names of my children, O Lord, in thy hands. I don't know it, the whole thing, but it's touching your heart when you read it. Are you doing that? What a comfort. What a peace it gives when you see how mighty God is. This child is saved by the Lord, and he gave faith in the hearts of the parents so that the child would be drawn out of the water, out of the death, the place of death, to live for God. Yeah, so we have another, yeah, you can say we cannot save our children for sure, but we have a responsibility, an accountability, or however you want to call it, and they did what they could. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Yeah, that's a burden, and it's a joy, both together, to be aware of that responsibility, to be used by God to bring up children for the Lord. And yeah, so yesterday when we had that meal in the youth group, it's very good, thank you for that. He did a game about couples, and I didn't understand, I don't even know the term, what I had to think about, but something was about, he had to mention what I understood was at first, what bothers you the most. The first thing I thought about, what bothers me the most, well, the salvation of the souls. That bothers me the most. What about you? They did what they could, and the Lord blessed it. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at a river. Her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among flax, she sent her maid to fetch it. So all the time that the child was in the house, oh, they had a concern if this child would be found. Can you imagine that, children? Maybe you have had a small brother or sister that will cry sometimes. And oh, if someone would hear it. And now here is a child and here is a daughter of Pharaoh coming. And what is going to happen? What a faith that God would be able to use this situation to save life of the child. You could also say what a sensitivity of this mother, that she would know the nature of a woman when she's seeing a child, a beautiful child of like Moses. So God blessed this situation and saved the child. It's a miracle. It's faith. If you think about the parents of Samuel bringing their child to the tabernacle, where the sons of Eli were doing the most horrible, sinful things, sleeping with the women that would gather there and stealing the meat of the sacrifices, to bring your child there. That doesn't sound good. But it was done in faith. And who is more used for a return of the people than Samuel? You could say Samuel has been a turning point in the history of Israel. Between the time of the judges that everyone did according to his own heart and being ruled by a God-fearing king, David, who was used by the Lord to make people free and mighty. I know all the questions, a lot of them, that can come up in our hearts in many situations. But is there faith in our hearts? And there are situations that we have to let them go. In a dark time of history, we should pray. Oh, that we might trust the Lord and see his mighty works according to his word. Isn't there a powerful basis to plead with the Lord to beseech him? Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 290, stanza 1 till 5. 290, stanza 1. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not from age to age the same. 290, stanza 1 till 5. Congregation, the Lord has his purpose with everything. A purpose that we do not know at forehand many times, and sometimes learn afterwards. The Lord had his purpose with this child that was born, Moses. A child with the name Moses because he was drawn out of the water. A child born in the most impossible circumstances. Let us never think that anything is impossible to God. We do dishonor the Lord. But oh, that it will bring us to our knees when we see our impossibilities, so that we will believe and cry out for the help of the Lord and see that our impossibilities are His possibilities. And usually that is the normal way of the Lord to show His might and to give glory to His name, that He is doing things in a way that we couldn't do them. And we have to see that in a way of a miracle, like He is doing here. So we see that He is inclining the heart of the daughter of Pharaoh. Isn't it according to Scripture that the hearts of kings, of leaders, are in the hand of the Lord like a water brook, and that He will incline the heart to the direction according to His will? Let us pray that the Lord will incline the hearts of leaders in our nation. The Lord wants to be prayed about it, so that we acknowledge in that way that it is His work to do it, and give glory to Him, and never boast in ourselves. So He inclines the heart of Pharaoh. Oh, He is hearing prayer. Isn't that true? Wasn't there a mother at home praying to God? A father? Maybe working, but praying to God. And He was hearing their prayers. He had given the wisdom to His mother to do it this way. And we should pray for wisdom when we want souls to be saved. We need wisdom to be a fisher of souls. There's so much wisdom needed to guide and teach, to speak the right words. Not that it depends on us. And still, it's making such a difference. If we speak the right word in the right time, and if there's a living faith in our hearts, and that faith is a gift of God, so it can be received by you. You that are sitting here and complaining about your unbelief and the hardness of your heart, go to your knees. Tell the Lord how the situation is inside. If it is a gift, and it is a gift, then, well, it can be received. The Lord is so merciful and faithful. So, oh, that there would be hope in our hearts, not in ourselves, but in God. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." She understood the situation. But the Lord gave her compassion to take care of this child. And he used this sister of Moses, who spoke to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" He will use the words that we speak in a dark world, even speak to people that do not see and believe the grace and the goodness of God. And God can use the words that they will be guided in the right direction, and that they will be used by the Lord to salvation. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. What a gift of God. She could take care of her child without fear. Oh, by faith, the Lord is doing such great things in this world, showing that He is able to do anything. And at the same time, the Lord is preparing this child according to His purpose. He has a special purpose with this child. Moses had to go to the palace. Child grew up, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and she became her son. This child drawn out of the water, out of the dead, is going to be used in a mighty way by God. And God is preparing him. He is going to be the leader of the people. You could say their king, to lead them in the wilderness. And oh, what a great task it was for Moses. And here he is brought up in the palace of Egypt, of this great empire, to receive all the teaching that he would need later on in his life. Isn't it the wisdom of God shown in the life of Moses? And who could ever have planned it in such a way? It is God. So those times in life that it looks like everything is going wrong, oh, that we would stick to the Lord in our prayers. Oh, it happens that after years you are really amazed, and you should be. You should not take it for granted when you see how the Lord has changed situations. It can be a long time. It took 40 years in the palace. It took 40 years in the wilderness. Another time of preparation for Moses. But it happened according to the purpose and the plan of the Lord, that we would rest more in His wise providence and in His good and righteous ruling in our lives. And we will not be ashamed. We will not be disappointed. Will the Lord ever make ashamed if we expect it from Him? Oh, boys and girls, we live in a dark time of history. And the youth is, in a certain way, difficult, uncertain. What is going to happen in my life? Which direction do I have to go? Whom am I, in fact? All those questions can be in your heart. It's a nice time of life, but it can be hard for you. And then we live in a world full of darkness, full of disobedience to God, full of rebellion to God. And you see all those things. And even people, some of the people of Israel, took the example of the world to serve the idols. Yeah, that's the danger. And I really tremble, not only for young people, but also for adults. And I include myself. If I see all the temptations in this world, a world that is more and more openly, unashamed, serving sin. And it connects so well to our heart. And how can you find the right way? And how can you be kept in such a world? By Christ. If your life is hidden in Christ, like Moses was laid in that ark, in a situation of the death, safe. That's the only way. If you hide in Christ, if there was any time in history, it is our time, it's our days. There was, any time was difficult, but isn't it really more difficult in our days to be kept from the temptations of sin? So isn't it very important and true that in our days it's so important that you young know the Lord? That you, while you are very young, know Christ, know the love of Christ. It is so good to have a filter on your computer. Don't know how that works with your smartphone, but the best filter you need, because of the developments go on and on, and it might be harder to have a filter on your smartphone, and there will be new developments. So the most important filter that you need is the love of Christ. And that you see that sin is a horrible thing. It is a shame. It is darkness. Like what we see happening in Egypt. It is the face of Satan shown there in what happens, killing those children. Like we see the face of Satan shown in the killing. And that's another similarity between Moses and Christ, the killing of the children in Bethlehem. Where Satan is busy to try to stop the work of God. And Christ is saved. When his parents fled to Egypt, saved out of that situation. So we have to flee from sin. Don't play with sin. Sin is too powerful. Satan will say, well, you can play with sin for a while and then still be safe. That's a lie. You can be, and I know if you are caught in sin, in the snare of sin, there's a way out. I'm not denying that. I want to proclaim that. There's a way out. The power of Christ. But don't tell yourself, and don't believe the lie of Satan, that you can continue to play with sin and be safe. Sin is destructive power, like fire. Can you take fire here within your clouds and not be burned? Can you play with sin and not come under the influence of darkness and Satan become more and more slave of sin? Really not. Oh, we have to flee like the parents of the Lord Jesus fled to Egypt. We have to be made free out of Egypt. Like the people of Israel was made free out of that slavery. To enter the promised land, it was not Moses bring them there. It was Joshua. That's the same name for Jesus. He is the one that will bring all those that trust in the Lord for their salvation in that promised land of heavenly Canaan to enjoy him that is much more than Moses forever and ever. He is more beautiful. Do you see the beauty in Christ Jesus, in the forgiveness, the peace with God, the eternal life, the holiness, the righteousness you can receive by grace out of him? Do you see that beauty, and do you hide in that only safe place by the grace of God? Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, we need thee every hour, every moment. Bless thy word. There's a purpose. Like there was with Moses, there's a purpose with every human being. We are created by thy hand. There was a day that they said there was a boy born there. There was a girl born there. Oh, what a joy. That thou would lead us in a way to live to thy glory. O Lord, that is the highest purpose of every human being, the only thing that can satisfy our hearts and souls, make us really happy and blessed. Lord, and we will not give glory to thee like we should if we don't know that love of Christ. That love will make our cup overflowing and our mouth telling thy praise and honor. We thank thee for thy word. Bless the teaching in the catechism and Sunday school classes and adult class. Bless also the Bible study and the preaching in the Christian rest home. We need thee, O Lord, the guidance and light of thy Spirit. We thank thee for thy goodness. Forgive our sins, what was wrong in speaking and listening, and hear our prayers. For Christ's sake alone. Amen.